It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. I'm live from Boyle Heights here at Espacio 1839. And bitch, the world is falling apart. Okay? Dead ass. Falling apart in front of our fucking eyes. And yesterday, I haven't even processed this, so I guess I'll try to process it here. But yesterday they overturned Roe versus Wade, which effectively made abortion illegal. Well, it gave it up to the states, and there's like a whole shitload of states that are gonna like automatically make that shit illegal. And I don't even know how to feel. I mean, like, it's like one of those things that's so big that I have a hard time processing my emotions. So I compartmentalize. So yesterday, because I had something to do, it may or may not have been a date. Okay. But I'm just kidding. No, it may or may not have been a date, though. But because I like had already said I was going to do something, then I had it in my head that I was going to do that. And so I did not allow myself to process what was happening. Also, because I was working all day with Molly and she takes up most of my attention. And so I just, as soon as I woke up that morning, I saw it on Instagram. But I was like, oh, hell no, this is too big. I haven't even really like seen the protests or anything yet. But fuck, you guys, like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, we're literally taking step backwards daily, and that shit is just wild. So yeah, you know what I'm trying to do right now, because you already know I'm nervous. You guys already know that's, I say that every single time because it's fucking true. But recently, a homegirl of mine, Sammy Joe, shout out Sammy Joe the Fox, check out the Homegirl Fox podcast. She recently just did a podcast episode, which was her comeback episode. And she did that shit all by herself, and she went in. And apparently this song goes with this for some reason. No, I don't know, it just popped up, my bad. But Sammy Joe was able to like get extremely vulnerable and like go in on a conversation and on a topic that was close to her heart and like difficult. It was a difficult ass topic, but she was able to like go all the way in on this story, and it takes balls, man. Like, it takes, you know what, let me just let a buchona say it.
Tienes que tener los huevos grandotes y yo los tengo colgando.
¿Dónde están todas las nenas solteras?
I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I fuck with Jenny 69. But yes, she was having her huevos colgando when she was doing her podcast, dude, because it takes a, like I said, it takes like a lot of heart to, I don't know, just speak into the fucking microphone, but also just bare your heart and your soul. And I was like, it inspired me as a person that tries to do this. Today, when my guest canceled, I looked at it as an opportunity. I said, all right, well, fuck. That was my honest reaction, was, man, fuck. But I knew I was going to be fine. It was just that, you know, having a guest is like having a crutch, you know, because you have someone to bounce your conversation off of, and it doesn't rely completely on you, you know, so it's like not as scary. But so yeah, I'm here and I'm fucking doing it, and I'm supposed to go to Jesse's barbecue after this, so let me, you know, hurry up because I'm hungry. I don't even know where to start with that shit. Well, first of all, the last episode that I posted was the Uvalde episode, and that has still been fucking me up. I know all of, like, it just seems like it's one thing after another, but it's not small things. I mean, I don't think it ever was, but these are like, this is the shit that honestly I believe happens right before the decline of an entire fucking civilization. Okay? I'm serious. Like, this is weird. I feel like we're living in the end times, and I know I'm supposed to be positive on this shit and tell you guys everything's going to be okay, but goddamn, like, this shit is scary. It's scary, and I don't really know how to address it with being, like, guiding others, other than to just say how I'm honestly feeling. That's, I guess that's the way I do guide others. Speaking of that, Season of Self, Summer of Self 2022 dates have been released for the rest of the summer. The plan for this summer is growing and glowing, and I hope that that is your plan too. And if it is, I hope you will join me at Summer of Self writing work, self-healing writing workshops. They will be taking place at Avenue 50 Studios in Highland Park. And I have guest healers coming to work with me, and I am so excited about that, because the first time I ever did that, like have a guest healer or work with a guest healer, was when me and Liz Villa, she's does sound healing, when we were kind of like thrown into a random situation for an event, and it just came out beautifully. And so I asked her again, and so she came recently and did another workshop with me at Mercadito Monarca in Pasadena. And it was just so magical, because the, like, what I do, I feel, is already like powerful. It has an impact on people, because I create this like really open space, like a really loving space to like express your emotions, but I give a lot of myself in the workshop, so it feels almost like you are having a conversation with me, so we're both getting something, you know, like we're both giving something, and that makes it feel a little, makes it easier to share, I think. And so we have writing prompts, and we do different music things, or, you know, I have different ways that I get to my point. But adding in the element of sound healing and now Reiki and yoga with Sabrina Jimenez, it's going to be like, I feel like it's going to take my thing to the next level. And I'm excited to just see what grows from this, you know, and what, because, you know, in a lot of my workshop, friendships are sparked, you know, like between me and other people, but often just between other people that are there, you know, because coming into contact with somebody who's in your same wavelength of like, oh, on this healing journey of really not just saying they want to work on themselves, but actually doing like that shadow work. That's what this is. These writing courses are shadow work. And they can, not your only shadow work, but they're an element of shadow work that I can facilitate, because I talk about my own shadow in the workshops and my experiences with hard shit. So the first one on July 3rd is going to be Fear and Intro to Inner Child. The guest healer will be Liz Villa with the sound bath. And then Sunday, July 17th, Turning Pain into Power with my guest healer, Sabrina Jimenez. She will be doing yoga, and we're going to, like, man, I'm telling you, it's really, she even, so everybody, they chose their topics that they wanted to bring their healing element into. So it's going to make sense for them too, you know, because that was the title or the topic that spoke to them. August 7th, body, staying in your body versus numbing, guest healer again, Sabrina Jimenez for yoga. These are Sunday 5 to 7 p.m. by the way. And then August 21st, we have Mind, Connecting with Yourself and Your Intro to Inner Voice with guest healer Liz Villa. She will be doing Reiki. I've never had Reiki, I don't know, so we're gonna learn today, or that day actually. September 4th, Soul, Honoring Yourself, which, oh my gosh, that's such a great, I love doing that workshop, because what we talk about is, when I learned about honoring yourself, I learned that in order to learn about honoring yourself, you have to learn about betraying yourself. You have to examine the ways you are betraying yourself in order to do the opposite of those things, which is the only way to honor yourself. If that makes sense, I hope it did. But if it didn't, just come to the workshop, and we're gonna have 2 hours together to, you know, go in on this. And it's like the other people in the workshop create the space too. It's not just me. Like, I open the door, but everyone holds each other. And that's what I feel is really valuable about the space. And then the last one will be September 11th, an open mic celebration and a special performance by Tanya Ingram. And this event will possibly be produced by Brown Girl Travels. Shout out Ashley. And shout out to Alejandra, who is my production coordinator, who has been helping me get this workshop up and running and helping me send emails. And I recently applied to the We All Grow Summit to do a writing session for them. So I'm excited to see if that happens. And even if it doesn't, fuck it. Like, I'm just trying to put myself out there in the ways that even before what I used to not apply to stuff because I was afraid of rejection. But now I'm like, I would rather shoot my shot, you know? And so that was me shooting my shot. But anyways, so but this song is a banger though. Low key. Listen. Wait, let me start it from the beginning.
Grandotes y yo los tengo colgando.
¿Dónde están todas las nenas solteras?
You know you're in a car dancer right now. Stop fucking lying. Dude, I love it. You gotta be in the mood for this type of shit for sure. But if you're, this is definitely like in Mexico partying. So I mean, which is I guess buchona vibes. But just shout out to all of the Latinas out there that are doing shit that even when people tell them that they suck at it or they shouldn't be doing it, like that to me is, I don't know, that's chingona status. Speaking of that, I recently watched Halftime, the Jennifer Lopez thing on Netflix, and tell me why from the fucking beginning, since I pushed play, I was crying the whole time. Like, I was crying so much, and I don't know exactly, I think it's just because it's so inspiring. Like, I never realized she was so inspiring. Like, you know, the thing she does is inspiring, but I never really got like a closer look at her or how she got to where she is, like what her attitude is, other than like clips here and there of interviews, you know? So I never really got to see an in-depth like view of her, like the way I did in this Halftime documentary on Netflix. And so many people were taking what she said about having to share the stage with Shakira, like they were taking it out of context, and that was totally not what she said. The fact of the matter is that like the way she exists in the world is she's an entertainer, like that's her role, right? And so she was trying to fit into those 6 minutes, because the whole Super Bowl show was 12 minutes. She was trying to fit into those 6 minutes, like everything she had to say to the world as an artist. And I really like, because I remember watching that Super Bowl and crying because of the cages and the little girls. Oh, God, the little girls just sent me over the edge. I was fucking crying. And I know everyone else was too. Or maybe I'm just a fucking crybaby. But I remember being touched by that, you know, but I was way more touching to learn the story behind it and like how hard she fought and how they wanted to cut the cages. And that was too big of a political statement. And they still went through with it. And like all these just different element or different details of the story that I didn't know. It was so inspiring to know. And it was also so inspiring to know how nervous she gets, because as you guys know, I fucking get so nervous all the time. And when she was talking about her being in Selena and like the way she was feeling when she was like looking at herself as a younger actress, like she was like, that girl was so scared. Like, I feel sorry for her. She had no idea what she was doing, you know, but the fact that she was doing it anyway, and that shit was just inspiring to me. So I highly recommend you watch it. I love watching those type of things. They like biopics, like things that have to do with people that I admire. I just inhale it because it becomes a part of me in some way. Like once you've seen something like that, and the reason why I think I cried and many of us cried, because someone else responded to me too on Instagram, shout out to whoever that was like, yeah, dude, I was crying through this whole documentary too. And I was like, I think all of us were, because we didn't realize how, I don't know. I think all of us have looked up to J-Lo. Dude, my fucking first outfit in high school was, you know how you start high school in September or whatever, it's hot as fuck. But because J-Lo had worn that that pink velour outfit in the I'm Real video, I needed to wear a fucking velour outfit to the first day of ninth grade. So, but unfortunately, I couldn't find one with shorts, so I had only one with pants. So I had like a light brown tan sweatsuit with fresh white Air Force Ones, and then like a white tank top underneath. I was so cute. I had my nails done, everything ready for school, and but yeah, I'll never forget that I was just suffering in that heat just because I had to have the J-Lo outfit, even though it wasn't even nowhere near her outfit. Number one, it was brown and not pink. And number two, it was pants and not shorts. So anyways, I just remember that. But we all looked up to her because she was literally one of the first representations we saw as in our childhood on the TV that even remotely resembled us. Like, I think people today in like Gen Z, they're already expecting and used to seeing themselves represented in media, that was a hope and a dream for us. Like, that was not given. That was not guaranteed. That was, I remember as a kid feeling very, wishing all day, every day, that I could be lighter, like blonde. I wish I had my mom's blue eyes. I just wanted to be skinny and blonde and white. That was like my, that, well, because that was what they showed us. So in the 90s, that's the only like thing of beauty we're looking at on TV. And so we think that that's the only thing that's beautiful. And when you don't look like that, which I looked literally the opposite of that, I was short, brown, and fucking round, and like I was nowhere near that. So it just fucks with you. But I'm happy for this new generation that they do expect, and they're moving towards things to change it into as much as they can, you know, media and campaigns that represent them. Like, they're pushing the companies to make those decisions. Yeah. What? How did I get here? I don't fucking know. But I am seen right here on my computer. I gotta say that the internet sucks here, but we're out here, people. We're out here and we're still doing this. So, update with my like regular job life, because I had to get a regular job because shit was slowing down. But I'm so grateful that I have these opportunities. I have two jobs now, and one of them is I went back to work with Molly. And so, if you don't know who Molly is a girl with Down syndrome that I was her aide when she was in sixth grade, and ever since she was, and now she's like 24 years old. And I went with her all through high school, well, through middle school and high school, and then even some college. And so now that I'm working with her for this summer, we're hanging out more than, like, we have not hung out like this in a long time. So she chose her hero of the week to be Selena, right? And so Selena is her hero of the week. And so we watched the movie together, and it broke my heart that I had never watched this movie with her, because movies is our shit. Like, we love movies. And I don't, you know, when you just have a movie in your head and you're just like, oh, everyone has seen that, like, that's just a given, everyone has seen that. But it didn't occur to me that, like, obviously Molly doesn't have that same experience as me, so that movie's not, she never saw it. So I was just like so excited to show her this movie, and we watched it. She fucking loved it, as I knew she would, but she has been obsessed ever since, dude. So like she the other day in the morning, so we'll get in the car, right? And she's like my co-pilot, and she has only been playing Spanish music. So it was only Selena. And then once she like overdid Selena, like we listened to Selena for like 3 days straight, like just all day in the house or whenever we got in the car, like because Molly controls the music. So then finally she moved on to different Spanish music, so she's only playing the Spanish songs in my song. So I told her, Molly, are you only gonna play Spanish music for the rest of this week? And she said, yeah, it's a Spanish summer. And so I was dying, because she loves this song. And she sings it with soul too, like she really gets into it. And so I made her some tacos the other morning, and she's like, as soon as I gave her the plate of tacos, she goes, Alexa, play Selena. She gets up and starts dancing. I'm like, oh my god, Molly, she cracks me up. But then she liked Jenny Rivera too, because I told you, she's only playing the Spanish songs on my phone. She's only experiencing all Spanish music through my phone. So early that day too, after Selena, she's like, Alexa, play Jenny Rivera. I didn't even realize that she knew these people's names. Like, I thought she was just playing the songs, but no, she like liked the songs and was playing the same ones over and over. And I was just like, I love you, Molly. And she was like, thank you for teaching me about your culture. I'm like, you're welcome. And she just, I love her. But Molly has always been my teacher, man. She's always been somebody that reflects me back to myself, but also teaches me so much about my own patience and about, I don't know, my own shadow too. Because, you know, everybody in our lives mirrors us in some way. Mirrors us back to ourselves in some way, shape, or form, because there's a lesson there. There's always a lesson in every relationship, every interaction, every everything. And if you look for it, you can find it. But I mean, aside, I don't even know how I got here in this conversation. I've literally just been talking into this microphone like somebody's talking back to me, but they're not. I'm channeling you, Sammy girl. I'm channeling you. What else is new? I mean, the fact that we don't have any, that we lost the right to get safe abortions is crazy. Like, again, I haven't processed it. It just feels like the world's falling apart. I'm not going to lie. It really does. And my only way to be inspiring about that is just to tell you what I'm doing, which is, like, I'm putting a lot, my priorities have changed. Like, definitely, like, the things that I put importance on or, like, spend my time freaking out about because of the state of the world have changed. Like, and the things I put my energy and effort into have changed as well, because it's starting, I guess, like, at this point, we've learned what matters and what doesn't because of how temporary everything else is. Like, it's just, like, the fucking economy is going to fall apart any minute. So, what, you're going to spend the last 10 hours of your life at work? Or are you going to, like, give it up and go spend some time with your family? Like, you know, I think, I hope that this has, this state of society or whatever you want to call it, the world, has inspired you in that way. Like, to give yourself some rest and to, as much as you can, focus on the parts of your life that are sacred, you know? So yeah, what else did I want to talk about? The last person I interviewed was Susie Placencia from UMO, and I have not posted that episode because something got messed up with the sound. So I also wanted to ask her if she was down to record another one. But we went in, so get ready for that episode. What else was I going to talk about next episode right here? So I had to do some reels for We Rise. And if you guys follow me on Instagram, then you've seen that I posted, like, these videos with my poem. So We Rise is LA County initiative for mental health. So for Mental Health Awareness Month, they contacted creators and hired them to make videos that were relevant to their topic of mental health, which I have done. And it's... I'm done with these videos. I still have two more left, and it's, dude, what day is it? It's the 25th. The month's about to be over. Like, if anybody from We Rise is listening to this, like, I ain't shit. I'm so sorry. Like, I thrive on the last minute, and that's, I think I tweeted it something like, why do I wait till the last minute? Because that's where all the magic is. Like, truly, I have stopped stressing myself out, or beating myself up, rather, about not getting shit done and just being like, oh, okay, so my brain wants to do it when it's going to do it. And it's going to, some people take 3 months to write an essay, and because they go back and they check in and they, like, they have their own process. My process is however that shit comes out is how you guys are getting it. Because it took me enough energy and enough, like, I had to push myself enough just to get it out. So editing it and fucking going back, and I'm sorry, but it ain't gonna happen. So that's my kind of process when it comes to creating, you know. So the We Rise reels also, well, I don't know if this is related, but We Rise also hired me through Mujeres de Maíz for their 25th anniversary art show at South Hall Graphics. And I want to say shout out to Faye and to all of the rest of the team there at Mujeres de Maíz, who allowed me to come and celebrate that sacred day with them. It was just a beautiful evening. There were drummers and indigenous singers and other, just so much vendors and art and just celebration of Mujeres de Maíz. And I was grateful to be invited. So thank you. I also have an announcement. Drum roll. What do you guys think it is? I am nominated for the Women for Racial Justice Award. Well, I don't know if I'm nominated, but I'm receiving it. So I'm getting it. But what's crazy about that is that in 2014, I started my entire poetry, like my professional performance professional poetry. I don't know how to say this, but you get what I'm saying. My first gig, my first real gig, I got paid $250, and I thought I was like the shit of life. And I got up there and I did a poem. And then it went so well that the next 2 years, so 2014, 2015, and 2016, I was asked to come back and perform there. And again, with that was the first time I ever read my Chingona Fire poem, which was a really cool day because also the person who was being awarded was Melina Abdullah of Black Lives Matter LA, who is also a professor at Cal State LA. She's just cool as fuck. So that was a cool day. But the coolest thing about this entire fucking honor of being given this award is, guess who the fucking keynote speaker is, bitch? Another drum roll. Angela Davis. Yes, the activist. Yes, the Black Panther, Angela fucking Davis. And that means, this is like not even, that means that I get to be in the same room with her. So it's a very highly likely that I'll get to meet her. So that's just cool as fuck to me. My dad would just be like just so proud and just so excited about this. And so my mom and my sister are going to come from Texas to come and see me get that award in October. And yeah, I'm grateful for that. And I definitely needed that as kind of like a reminder of, I guess, my contributions, like that I have done stuff. Because when you haven't been asked to perform or been given shows in a while, like you can kind of start to feel like irrelevant, like you forget all of those shows you have been invited to once you stop getting invited. Like it almost like, so being reminded of past things and the ways I've contributed to this community is an honor for me, and it's also a reminder that I really needed to make me feel proud of myself, you know. And that's important. It's really important to feel proud of yourself. I'm drinking water, sorry. I can't go anywhere without my water. I just cannot. It's not possible. I won't do it. Don't ask me. But something else that I wanted to bring up. Whew. This is a big one, but it deserves space. And so I wanted to say rest in peace to Dijon Supton, who. Ooh, hold on. I love you, DJ. He was my student at the teen center. I knew him since he was in middle school. He was only 22 years old, and he was in a car accident in Nashville, Tennessee. And I recently went to his, in May, April, I went to his funeral, and it was a lot. I was a mess. It was a beautiful funeral. He had his friends sing. He had all his family there. He was so loved, that boy. And, you know, he was able to achieve his dreams. And that's the only kind of thing that makes me even feel remotely okay about having to go to his funeral. Like, it's like, at least if he had to die, at least he also did what he said he wanted to fucking do, which was travel this world, go to like lit ass parties, like be a part of this, you know, kind of like elite group of YouTube creators, and have access to designer stuff. Like, he did all that, and that was what he wanted to do, and he did that. And it was cool to see him blossom even more. He was always kind of like in that scene, but you know, for him to go and be creating with these big creators and be respected by them in that circle, you know, it says a lot about him. And I'm going to miss him. This boy, man. Well, this man. He used to drive me fucking nuts. I'm going to tell you right now, like, Miss Angie and DJ were always beefing, like, beefing. And me and him would actually argue. I've learned so much from working with kids that, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I argued back with these kids. Like, as 34-year-old person, like, looking back on me being 24 and working at the teen center when I was, you know, with the kids, like, I was so immature about how I handled shit. And I had no idea, like, and I was growing up with them, you know, and I was doing the best that I could. The one thing I always know that I did right, though, was I love them. I truly love them. And when they needed me, I was there. And so I know that meant something to DJ, especially because of in the times where we weren't fighting, you know, like on special occasions, DJ always made sure to give me a card. He gave me a card for Mother's Day a few times. Like, you know, he made me Valentine's because we would like do activities at the teen center. And when he would get that moment or that opportunity to thank me without having to thank me out loud or being too affectionate, I would get these long letters or these long cards or this, you know, these gifts, because DJ was always, my boy was a scammer. So he was out here in these streets. He always had just random shit. And so these little gifts, that was the way DJ showed me that he loved me. And I knew he did. And he knew I loved him. And I'm just going to miss him, man. I'm going to miss you, baby boy. And I want you to know that all of the fights that we had, you know, they weren't all your fault. They weren't. I wasn't always in the best headspace. I was struggling back then. My dad had just died, and I was just in a hard place. But being at that teen center with them, it gave me such a light in my life and such a comfort. I'm grateful for those moments, and I'm so grateful to have known you. I love you. And now that you're up there, I'm expecting you to be one of my angels. So I love you. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, DJ. So I needed to do that. I definitely needed to do that. It was hard to do it on the last episode because me and Susie were just going on and on about other stuff. I will be releasing that book soon. I mean, that book. Hello. I mean, that episode. Yeah. You know, I want to play some music for DJ, you know, just a little bit of, you know, a song that means a lot to us, especially when someone passes away. There's a commercial happening right now, so give me 1 second. Here we go. Let me not get kicked off. Well, actually, I'm not on live, but let me not get copyrighted. But you guys know, once the music starts, you know where we're going with this. But yeah, I'm gonna miss you so much, DJ. I wish that I had spent more time with you as you got older, but you were out there traveling the world. And, you know, we think we have so much time with people, especially someone younger than us. You never expect somebody younger than you to go before you. Expect it, but when it happens, oh my god, it ripped my heart out to be at that. And it didn't hit me until I was at the funeral, you know. Like I mentioned many times, I compartmentalized, and so I was not ready to feel that yet. And but then when you get there and you're faced with all these other people crying, it's like, oh bitch, you don't have a choice. You're feeling it right now, right here. I sat down on the floor in the church and I was just bawling, like, embarrassingly so. Like, I had to cover myself with a little paper because my face was just, I was like in agony. I felt like I couldn't believe it. It was painful to know that he was gone, such a huge light to this world. And yeah, it's not right, man. But God has a plan, and I know that we don't always understand it. I don't understand it even when I think I do. And he's an angel now, so I hope you watch over us, DJ. We love you. So I will switch up a little bit, and I thought I had more things to talk about, but I'm guessing that I don't, or for right now. I'm going to be doing my best to bring some more guests on here, and I'm going to do my best about also when I don't have guests to like try and structure some podcasts, like episodes of just me talking, because that's a muscle that is weak right now, but it's one that I know that if I keep doing it, then I can strengthen, you know, and I can get better. And I want to be an example of that to you, but also for myself, because it was funny because Molly the other day, like, her mom told her to sign up for some class. What class is it? Anyway, whatever the class was, she was like, oh no, I don't want to sign up for that because I'm not good at it. And then I was like, Molly, that's not a good reason to sign up for it. I was like, don't you remember what they said on Kung Fu Panda 3? Because that's that was this movie. She will not stop watching Kung Fu Panda 3. So, so she's like, what? What did they say? And I was like, in the movie, that he tells them, if you only do what you're good at, then you'll only stay how you are. Like, it's just simple as that. And so anytime I see these opportunities to, like, get better at something that matters to me, instead of taking the easy way out and just being like, I'll do it tomorrow or another time or not at all. I'm just trying to, walk towards that fear and walk towards those things that seem hard. And I hope that in whatever way, you can in your life, you're doing that too. And if you're not, and you're just now, ready to take steps towards doing that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to keep walking forward and to keep being kind to yourself and mothering yourself and treating yourself like the most precious thing in your life, because without you, there'd be no you. So remember that and take care of yourself. Love on yourself, love on your family. And, yeah, man, you'll hear my voice again soon. In about like a week, but you know, I never do my podcast on time. So it's kind of like I said, you get them when you get them. And I really want to thank you guys for rocking with me and for continuing to listen to this podcast, even though the podcast episodes come out so randomly and not on time. But I know that you know, and you can hear it in my voice, that every word that I say is from the heart. And I do my best to only speak the truth and to bring you the best parts of me and other people. So I just appreciate you listening to the Millennial Mija podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Hello? It's the Mother Fucking Millennial Mija podcast.